Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. It's Sunday evening, and this would be the Sunday show with Jack Jodell, Wayne Johnson, myself, Gwen Berry. This is the Sunday show on Here Be Monsters Radio. And gentlemen, you were discussing before we began all about these, talk about what was on the Sunday show again, Wayne.
It's the new treatments and technologies that are coming up in treating cancerous cells. Number one, the new medicines that are looking at targeting, they're taking your own blood cells and modifying them, or your white blood cells, modifying them to recognize and target just the cancerous tumors, because that's the problem with our white blood cells now and cancer, and cancer has been with man since the beginning of time.
Mm-hmm.
The white blood cells cannot recognize a cancerous tumor tissue from healthy tissue, so henceforth it doesn't attack it. And there's been a lot of advancements on this. Again, the kind of the venom from the Israeli scorpion that they're now able to use for brain cancers to distinguish the tumors. They found out that this is from nature, and studying nature and stuff, they're finding out that venom will illuminate a cancerous cell but does not attach itself to the healthy tissue. So when a doctor, a brain surgeon, is going in to remove brain cancer, he can see and target just the tumor, so he's not removing extra healthy brain tissue, because you want to try to keep as much of your brain as you can.
Oh, yeah.
And he can target what he's got, and that way he knows he's got it all. So you're going to get a more targeted aspect of attacking the tumor. So there's all kinds of advancements going on right now. If you want to Google it, the today's Sunday morning program, and it was a special edition just dealing with cancer.
That's really wonderful news. I know they've made a lot of strides in the last 20 years, really, with cancer treatment.
Yeah.
But this one, my mom, she had the same thing that John McCain has been diagnosed with. They gave her 6 months. She made it through three. And as you said, it is, when it's in the brain, it's very quick.
Right.
But there was no, what was the worst for my mom was that she knew what she wanted to say. She could actually write it down, but she couldn't say it. Her speech center was being.
Right. It all depends on what section of the brain the tumor has attached itself and attacking.
But it gives me pause, and it really, it brings up a topic for the table. I don't know if you've read it, but Kelly, what's her name, the gal who ran against John McCain.
Kelly Comjob?
No. I'm talking about the Democratic senatorial candidate who gave John McCain a run for his money this last time. Her name is Kelly something.
Sorry, go ahead.
She basically, apparently, said, well, he should step down and I should run for the seat right now, which I think that's not my kind of Democrat, guys.
No, she shouldn't jump on the bandwagon so quick like that. For God's sake, it was just announced. He's getting over the shock of it and making his arrangements, but she shouldn't be trying to push him out right away.
And he ain't out yet. Gosh, goddess forbid that he lets his daughter step in for him.
She's wonderful.
Well, I say goddess forbid. I don't know if you've seen her lately or even paid attention.
I saw her about a year and a half ago, and she impressed me quite a bit.
She's a smart girl, and she
very much so.
extraordinarily level-headed. But since she joined Fox News, she's an asshole. She's a ridiculous.
See, I never watched Fox News. I refuse to watch that bullshit because all it is a propaganda arm of the far right of the country. And so I never watch it. So I didn't even know she had joined them. God help us.
After several failures at some kind of broadcast career, they took her on at Fox, where she became a sniping blonde like the rest of them.
Another Ann Coulter, huh?
Well, the difference between her and the rest is
she's got a classier demeanor, I bet.
The bleach jobs over there is that she actually has a brain.
Yeah, right.
She's not stupid. She's really, I'm just so surprised at her. And I say, God is forbid they let her step into her father's shoes right now, because I don't think she's ready to film. And I don't think she'd do nearly as good a job as her father will. And I hope that he does step away, because he has some time, I would think. None of us knows.
Yeah.
But I'm thinking that John McCain is no longer going to be thinking about how to hold on to his job.
Right.
I think he's going to be thinking about his legacy and
right. What
are the last words he says on this planet, and I think that's going to make a difference. Call me jaded. Call me up.
No, I agree. I think that's very true, Gwen, because when you're faced with a death by cancer, not opinion but fact, it changes your life radically, and it makes you consider things differently. It makes you see things in a new light, and it makes you react accordingly. So let us hope we see something good and hopeful coming out of John McCain. He doesn't have to pay attention to what the rest of the Republicans are saying anymore. Maybe we can see a resurgence of the maverick in him.
Well, you know, I talked to him once when he was running against Bush for the nomination. And I like the guy.
Yeah.
I don't have the same politics as he does, but I respected the guy.
Right.
I liked him. And I got the feeling that he returned that sentiment. We had some commonality. I mean, we're Navy. And he carries a lot of information in his head. People don't understand sometimes just how much some of these old guys got going on.
Oh, he's been there for years and years and years as a minority and a majority member.
Yes, and he understands the quid pro quo, the compromise that makes things happen for the betterment of the country. And I think that was his focus when he came into service. I don't know what his focus is these days. He got so trashed by Bush, he changed. We all saw that. But he was...
He also got trashed by Trump. Let me interject here real quick. This is where my mind goes. As a veteran myself, a Navy veteran, I had a lot of respect for McCain and his service in the Navy and what he went through and his honorableness of when they found out his dad was an admiral in the Navy, they were going to kind of turn him loose and use it as a propaganda aspect. And his replies to the Vietnamese were, "No, I'll go home with everyone else." And his English interpreter, Vietnamese English interpreter, when the others stormed out all pissed off, he said, "You just made a big mistake." That's when they started beating the hell out of him. That being honorable. Then you have Trump, who, when he got his draft notice, he ran off, take a little squatting piss in a corner because his little feetsie hurt. He couldn't serve. He couldn't serve his nation when he was called upon. But yet he had nerve enough to call him, call McCain a loser because he had been a prisoner of war. Just like my heroes not to be captured. I thought, worthless piece of shit.
Gentlemen, just so it's on the table, I dated a guy who burned his draft card, okay?
Yeah.
I got no problem with that. I do understand that.
I don't either.
But don't call. Yeah, but being a Navy vet myself, I do understand that aspect. But do not go after a man who did serve.
Yeah, and who was tortured and everything and belittled
that
aspect.
No, I never belittle a vet. I don't.
No, we were intimating that you were. It's Trump that was.
Right.
I do not belittle anyone who is in uniform, who is performing a service, especially our first responders. And I'd like at that note to say congratulations to my nephew, George, who spent his first week as a fully fledged fireman paramedic in West Palm Beach, Florida.
Congratulations. Applause here.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, to choose to serve your community.
Yeah, in service to others. Wonderful.
It's a big step. I'm so
life-saving.
Yes, and not everybody can do that. And I mean that just as much about police officers.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I know there's a very large problem with the psychology testing that goes on there.
Yeah, I agree.
But there's too many bad cops out there, too many bad cops. But
There was another merciless, stupid, uncalled for murder in Minneapolis here recently, and it caused the resignation of the mayor.
Jack.
I couldn't believe
it.
Yeah, I saw that, Jack. I saw that. Listen,
and it was a really stupid case. A lady was—I forget all the details of it—but she didn't have to be killed. That's for damn sure. Just like Philando Castile didn't need to be killed either. That was completely stupid too.
She thought she heard a burglar and called the cops to come and check it out. And she was the one that got shot.
Yeah, I know. Isn't that disgusting?
Talk about
overreaction. Talk about mistakes. Talk about unforgivable.
Correct. But I would also bring up here the fact is, too, the majority of cop killings are the killings that cops accomplished are with people of color. And often people of color, black.
Oh, very true. But she wasn't.
No, she was. She wasn't. Wasn't she a guest, a tourist?
She was a blonde-haired lady from Australia.
Yeah,
a yoga instructor.
Yeah, just unbelievable.
Yeah, that's my crowd. I remember that. But the truth is that it's a majority of these killings are people of color. And here's another little stat.
Oh, yeah, that's terrible.
Another little stat. A lot of police people of color do those shootings, too.
Is it peer pressure? I don't understand why they would do that. You would think they'd rise above it or they'd resist it somehow, but maybe the allure of the discipline of the job is what keeps them in line there that way.
No. I would also take the other side that the cop shows up and he has a lot of fear.
Oh, they do. I understand that, yeah.
Hello, I'm trying to get this in here. There's no black, there's no brown, there's no yellow, there's no white. When you put on that uniform, all there is blue.
That's right. You got to serve everybody equally, the same, and not have suspicions about anybody unless it's well-founded and you're on the trail of something. Not just overreaction, not just pulling your gun out and blowing people away. That's crazy.
Well, you also got to realize, too, the jeopardy they put themselves in. It's like firefighters.
Oh, sure. They got to be on the lookout, man. They got to be on the lookout or they're blown away.
Domestic troubles. They're taking their lives into the hands, especially, and it is true, the city of Chicago is like got the ombre of Capone over it or something. I don't know. I've been to Chicago twice in my life. I was walking down the street going to somebody's house. I could hear shots being fired, that pop, pop, pop sound you hear. It doesn't sound like the movie, guys. I was never safe. I never felt safe. And I have pretty good antenna. I never felt safe in Chicago. But you know where I felt very safe? And walked the streets home. Not stupid, but walked home or got a cab or what it is, New York City. People in New York City, all in all, pretty good folks. But
when were you there last, Gwen?
She's going on like 7 years now.
Because, at one point I know it used to be the murder capital of the world almost, and something happened and it got cleaned up quite a bit.
Zach, let me interject. The murder capital of the world at one time was Washington, D.C. itself.
Oh, yeah.
But I did hear a terrible thing that happened this week. A friend was accosted on the street, a lifelong New Yorker, on her way home, and somebody tried to molest her. And when she got them off, guy was standing there listening, seeing it happen, and kept talking on his cell phone.
The disinterested bystander. That's a horrible thing.
To me, that's incredibly I was pretty shocked to hear, because really New Yorkers are usually really good people. I've been in situations in the city when there's been no power.
You know, they're quick to react to stuff like that instead of standing by deaf, dumb, and blind guy, you know.
They used to be. They sure as heck used to be.
Yeah.
And I've seen plenty of videos of New Yorkers standing up, especially to any of these little Nazi bastards who go after women with their headpieces on. Their burkas.
Well, the hijabs.
It just doesn't, one of the nicest cities you'll ever walk in is Boston, Massachusetts, too.
You're not talking about the South Side.
Oh, I know South. Yeah, there's a bar there called Murphy's Law I used to love. I worked in the design center, which was close to Southie. Yankees are good people. I've been in cities that I've been in Minneapolis. Always felt safe there. Beautiful town.
Uh-huh. Yeah. I had that as one of my territories when I was a regional sales manager. Minneapolis, St. Paul was always a fantastic town for me.
Yeah. I'm glad to hear that, Wayne. That's great. In any urban area, you're going to have areas that are less than safe, less than desirable, that are unfavorable. Depending on the time and the circumstances and everything, it's unavoidable. When you have a huge conglomeration of people all congealed in one area, you're going to have a certain amount of problems.
You're right, Jack. And the thing is, it only takes one person that can distort my view I had been in Minneapolis, St. Paul.
Exactly.
You know, you can't paint with a broad brush. Yes, this happened there. Is it everybody?
Right.
No. Was it the rare example of one person being an asshole? Probably.
Yeah.
Good
point.
We all have territories. I mean, I love Rome. Rome was a beautiful old city.
Oh, yeah. That it looks very beautiful.
I've been to Rome. I've been to Rome and felt very safe walking their streets, yes.
But Rome, during the 90s, I got to tell you, you had to watch yourself with the gypsies roaming the streets and stuff. I got to it. Another really, really wonderful place to be is anywhere in England, because people don't carry as many weapons in Europe as they do here.
Oh, right.
Miami is not a safe place.
They don't resort to Second Amendment rights and crazy talk like that.
I drove a cab for a couple of years in Palm Beach, in West Palm Beach.
Wow.
And I got to tell you what, we were doing the show while I was. And I got to tell you, it wasn't that unsafe. I knew where the unsafe areas were.
Sure.
Right.
It's like anything. There's good areas and bad areas. And you can stand middle of a very safe place, Rockefeller Center, and you can still get in trouble.
Yeah.
So it's just people. But the big thing that I thought we would probably be discussing today would be, pardon me, gentlemen, pardon me.
Is that the topic, or are you asking yourself?
No, I'm asking you. What do you think of pardons? for Trump and his family.
Well, number one, Freudianly speaking, that is an admission of guilt. I mean, why would you even start talking about things like that for yourself and family? And the thing is, and it's come out here, MSNBC's got evidence. It's also been in other publications of the evidence that the reason why, and here's the reason why Trump has not turned over any of his finances, is because the evidence is showing, as I understand it, that he has been laundering Russian mob money to build his, and that's where, what's the money that he's getting his finances to build all of his big resorts, and because he was in debt like $30 million, and all of a sudden it's all gone away.
Well, it's become apparent to me that this man is a criminal and belongs behind in the big house, big time.
Right.
He's a,
right.
He's
and
a
that's why,
mouth crook.
And, when with Mueller investigating the Russian sabotaging our own democratic elections, and now they're following the money trail, and they're finding out that there is definitely some evidence here that he has been criminally laundering Russian mob money.
Yeah, I have no doubt.
Now he's talking
and
about.
I just wonder how long it'll be
being able to pardon his
Bob
family
Mueller.
And even himself.
I wonder how long before he fires the special prosecutor, or he'll try to. He'll appoint somebody that will do it for him.
That's going to be difficult.
He can't do it himself. That's right. And he can't do it through Jeff Sessions because he's already recused himself. So he's going to have to. He's going to have to fire Sessions. And stick somebody else in there to do it for him.
Yeah, he's about ready to do
that. Well, he's attacking
that.
Sessions now.
Yeah, he hates Sessions.
He doesn't hate him. He's upset because of what he did by recusing himself.
Recusing himself.
Well, yeah, he's very upset with that. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure Sessions knows he's guilty as shit, too.
Oh,
Sessions is equally as guilty, so is Manafort.
Oh, absolutely. And Pence has got his own private lawyer because I'm sure Pence has taken some of that Russian mob money for his own campaign. He has been guilty by association. He has become an accomplice.
The most corrupt administration in the entire history of the country.
You have to remember, gentlemen, this is going to be a lot of ferreting out what is and isn't mobster.
Oh, it's going to take a long time.
Because the Russian economy at home runs pretty much black market. That's what they mean.
Oh, yeah.
But there's all of these oligarchs that Putin has created by giving them all of the resources to use, to take over in Russia and affiliated.
And Putin's corrupt as well.
Corrupt?
He's in with them all. He's in. It's, what a... You know, what an unbelievable bunch.
He's the godfather of the Russian mob. I mean,
That's about it. That's right. That's about it.
It just stuns me that so many people are still saying, oh, this collusion crap is a bunch of false flags.
No.
Oh, it's fake news. Yeah.
Those are very ignorant people.
You know what? Hitler had his diehard faith-based followers all the way up to the end when he committed suicide. And even after Germany fell, because there's still the Allied troops still had to go to some door-to-door to rout out the fanatics, the reactionaries of Hitler and Nazism.
Ed, excuse me, gentlemen. Ed? I mean, there's whole...
Oh, yeah, well, it's made a resurgence.
Yeah, survival camps dedicated to the man in this country. I mean... Hitler's not dead. He's alive.
No. Well, we got the American Nazi Party, the neo-Nazis, and they were, and a lot of them cross over into the Klan.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's becoming the blurred line is becoming many shades of gray between those two groups. Henceforth, these are the Trump supporters.
Yeah.
They're the diehard, the fanatics, the reactionary fanatics of Trump supporters.
The mud has risen to the top, not the cream.
Well, it kills me that they keep saying that 85% of Republicans still approve of Donald Trump. I think that's out and out bullshit.
Yeah,
could be, is my guess, but it could be true. Who knows?
like I said, Ted Koppel has made
a statement. He has a rock bottom support level of about 35, 36, 37% that are just refusing to budge, and they're very ignorant, stuck in the mud people. But, you know, Nixon in his heyday, Nixon was slightly more honorable than Trump, and he in his heyday had a solid rock bottom of 25 to 27% that refused to budge. And
right.
they were convinced that he was being ramrodded, you know.
Oh, yeah, right. Well, but now at least Nixon had some values.
Yes.
Because some of his aides said something about pardoning himself, and he said
it'd be dishonorable.
The presidency, he had more honor towards the presidency that. You know, Ted Koppel summed it up. He says, basically there has been that group of people attracted to the right-wing propaganda so much that they are determined that their ideology of this reactionary far right is more important than facts and important than our own survival of our own democracy.
That's scary. That's dangerous.
I'm a conservative and I'm anything, and it doesn't matter if you're breaking the law to preserve that conservative viewpoint. It's all about the conservative viewpoint. This is the demographics now that I think is kind of unique to this time.
It's rotten that, the Congress is having to go back and forth with the White House to get sanctions against Russia for what they did with the elections.
Mm-hmm.
But apparently they're signaling they'll accept a sanctions bill.
Well, there's a bipartisan sanction bill that puts more sanctions, reinstating those that for going into the Crimean Peninsula, and then also their interference, not only in our own elections here,
but in Ukraine.
That basically skewed our own democracy here, but they tried it in England, they tried it in France, and they've also done it in Germany. They have a repeating pattern here.
And in Ukraine.
Trying to influence democratic elections across the world.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, very
but
much
is
so.
But Trump going to sign it? This is the gauntlet down. Now, Trump.
And you know,
he's already
proven he doesn't
ahead,
give
Jack.
A shit what anybody else thinks. He'll do whatever he damn well pleases. So chances are he will not sign it.
Right.
And he also says that he has the power to pardon anybody for anything, including himself. He's delusional.
Right.
Yeah, he's nuts. He's nuts.
Well, he's ignorant. And he doesn't.
He's going to create a constitutional crisis. Because I don't think it's ever been truly defined, and we never even thought that we'd have to address this issue. Can a president pardon himself for his own crimes?
Right.
You know, when you're talking president and crimes, that's whole new territory for this country.
Why have any laws?
There you go. Right.
Why have any laws then? It comes to the root of it right there. That gets right to the square heart of it. Why have any laws if the president can do whatever he damn well pleases? That's insane. I don't know where the hell he gets off on this crazy idea. It's because he's so narcissistic, he doesn't give a damn.
Well, that's fine. He is mentally sick. I am
sick,
sure he's
sick
mentally
bird.
Sick.
He's a sick bird.
But what kills me is people keep buying this crap. I mean,
there is that, again.
I think
it's like
little
the
by little they're starting to wander away from it. I'm hoping. I'm pretty sure that's what's happening.
Yes, eventually it is, but like I said, there's still 36%.
There's still a rock solid bottom down there, and they're hard to break
right.
up.
And, you know, Sean Hannity is still spewing, oh, poor little Trumpy, they're picking on him. You know, bullshit.
Yeah, that Sean Hannity is despicable.
Well, here's the thing, guys. The Republicans are in full control of the government. They can't get a goddamn thing done.
They don't know how to govern. All they know how to do is be the opposition.
Right.
Well, all they know how to do is profiteer. Let's get real here. All
that's what it is. It's
they're
padding their wallets, and that are their contributors. I had a family friend, like I said, he was the lawyer who represented Norman Gardner. That was the CIA agent that Ollie North reported to. He was also the handler for Noriega, and this kind of stuff. He was also a family friend because he was a school teacher and started in the same county as my dad did at the same time when we moved back to the Eastern Shore of Maryland. And his famous motto, he was political science major at Johns Hopkins and got his law degree from Johns Hopkins. And his favorite saying was, absolute power corrupts absolutely.
Yep.
And we have Trump in the White House. We have Mitch McConnell and the Republicans controlling the Senate. We have Paul Ryan and his fanaticism and the Republicans controlling the House. You have all three those three branches. And the thing is, with the appointment of the Supreme Court that
Gorsuch.
Mitch McConnell did an end run around Obama to
make sure he
got his conservative guy on there, you now also have the judicial system in a right-wing aspect.
Absolutely.
That is complete power.
Well, that's
going to corrupt absolutely.
That's been the right's aim for quite some time now. They were aghast at the liberals having the influence they had during the 60s and the effect it had on civil rights and that sort of thing. So they made a bound determination. The Koch brothers and all the rest of those billionaires made a determination to thwart this stuff using all aspects of government. Lewis Powell was at the head of it. You know, it's terrible what they've done. They've destroyed the democracy.
Daddy Cook, who came over from Germany with his wealth because he was converting coal into diesel fuel for Hitler's tanks and army, came over here. He wasn't a war criminal, so he's able to come over here with his wealth. And it was the end of McCarthyism. JFK was saying, we are going to make sure schools are desegregated, which pissed every good old boy Southerner, redneck down there, Klansman.
Uh-huh.
And they called themselves Minuteman. It's the John Birch Society, and they were Minuteman.
Oh, yeah.
And their image was that Minuteman statue where he's got his rifle in there, and he's going to stand defiantly against the tyranny of those, yada, yada, yada.
Yeah,
well, now
it's all Tea Party. It's all mirrors, it's sad.
Exactly. And the
Except
thing
that
is, that's how Hitler came into power. He had these images of, we're going
to
protect the fatherland. We're going to make our country great again. Remember that?
Nationalistic
bullshit. He was
going to
take it from the Jews and all those that were deterring and destroying. Right? They took that same message, brought it here. We're going to make sure these blacks and these Jews and other minorities, we're going to take back our country. And now we're fast forwarded here with a Tea Party. With the Koch brothers, who just got passed on that same hatred instilled of Nazi Germany from their land.
Oh, and Alec and all these other subgroups.
Instead of Minuteman, they're now patriots.
Yeah.
It's the same shit over and over, guys.
It's all lies, and it's all distortions, and it's built on nothing except paranoia and fear.
And propaganda.
And greed
propaganda.
And profit. That's it. Yep.
Right.
Well, there you go, Jack. It's about profiteering. This is what the whole thing is meant about.
Trump's trying to make as much money as he can while he's in the White House and for Ivanka and Jared Kushner and all the rest of those clowns.
I don't think that Trump had any other idea other than sticking it in Obama's face that he won. They had absolutely no, if you will recall the election evening, they were in freaking shock that they won.
Oh, right.
Yeah. Freaking shock.
And, here's something that I haven't heard discussed much. Do you remember a few years ago at the White House Correspondents' Dinner, Obama had a great time just absolutely pasting Trump while he was there, just making fun of all his birtherism nonsense and just made him the butt of every joke he could, and Trump hated it. And I think from that moment on, Trump decided, I'm going to be the president, and I'm going to destroy any legacy this guy's ever going to have. And he's been at it ever since.
Everybody knows this. It's said over and over again. But here's the thing. He lies every time he gets near a microphone. If he opens his mouth,
the guy's a magnificent liar.
He's a pathological liar. Blatantly lie. He'll just make up a story that could be so easily double-checked
and
proven to be a bullshit lie,
too.
But still people will wrap their arms around it as, boy, he speaks his mind. Yeah.
Yeah, those are people that don't know anything. Easily deluded.
Easily deluded? I think these are people who like to hate.
Oh, there are. You bet there are.
I think these are people.
The majority of them are Trump voters.
Well, I was going to say, that's all the Klan is.
That's right.
I can't stand to have this person who's supposed to be below me in the stratification of society doing better than me, because that means I'm at the bottom, not him.
Right.
That's
what
racism is
about. White power nonsense and all that crazy stuff.
We're talking about basic sociology here, folks. We're talking about hierarchy. We're talking about people, especially some really rather hateful, ignorant folks who think the world owes them a living. I can't believe I just said what my mom used to say to me.
It's true. And now this time they're Republicans instead of what she thought were the Democrats.
Right.
One of my favorite
quotes is by Arthur Schopenhauer. He was a philosopher, a great philosopher of the mid-1800s. He says, it's common for man to take his limited viewpoints from lack of exposure and knowledge and stuff as being that of the world. In other words, I can't run my own life, but God damn it, I'm going to make sure I run yours. That's kind of
the
mentality.
It's very close to what, you know, a lot of extreme socialists or communists would like to see. You know, everybody gets the same amount. No favorites here or there. I'm an American.
It's built on merit, on what you put into it, and that sort of thing. That's what I believe.
I don't want a committee telling me what the fuck to do. I don't want a committee telling my kid or my family what the fuck to do, or taking a artist and putting him up to paint a picket fence instead of creating a beautiful, gaudy masterpiece at the opera. I am American in that regard. However, I'm an FDR.
You have to have a bottom floor that nobody can fall through below.
That's right. I am an FDR American. I guess I'm a...
Right. Me too.
Yeah, I mean, I'm in favor of capitalism. I believe it. You know, I am truly the factor that it works. You invest
really
your own time.
But
pure capitalism in itself becomes predatory. That's why you have to have the checks and balances of government. I can't sell medicine that's really nothing more than horse shit laced with lavender perfume and call it's going to cure your stomach aches.
Exactly.
Right.
Regulations, Glass-Steagall. Please.
Regulations, checks and balance regulate for business.
It's so needed.
And
everybody with a common sense brain realizes this, except these paranoid individuals that are so afraid that the government's going to take over my life, and it's just nonsense. It's crazy.
Those are the very few, though. Really, they get a big voice because they're the very few.
They got big. They got a big mouth.
I don't believe in libertarianism, and I've heard it explained to me by somebody I like very much, but who was very much for it. I have to say I was in a little awe of the person who was saying it.
Libertarianism is naive, and it's naive because it's made up by billionaires for the benefit of billionaires, and it just hoodwinks people along the way.
A lot of good people.
Swinging of the pendulum of the spectrum. Libertarianism and the utopian society. They're pipe dreams. They're nice if it doesn't happen, but it's not reality.
Right.
And look where we are. We're on the shit list of just about every ally we've ever had since World War II.
Thanks, Trump. Thanks, reactionary Republicans.
We are the laughing stock of the globe, and how those guys can go pound down those halls in Congress and not be ashamed. Not be ashamed is beyond me.
Well, I love a quote I just saw on the internet not too long ago. Ramsey Clark once said, and it is so true, he said, the biggest crime since World War II is American foreign policy. That says it all.
Well, we used to have allies everywhere, from Japan to hell, right next door to Russia. And we even had some kind of a relationship with Russia that had enough boundaries to it that there had to be a mutual respect.
Well, keep in mind, Reagan and George H.W. Bush told the Russians when they were their empire was collapsing and Gorbachev was had a friendly ear, they assured him that NATO would never invade Russian territory, would never come right up to Russian territory, and what has happened since then? All of a sudden,
that was W. Bush and really Dick Cheney
become a member? That's scary
to that.
Russia. I understand that.
Well, the truth is that now we're in a very bad place. We've got the American government is actually kowtowing to a complete imbecile, complete profiteer, who is going to do just about anything he can to help the Russian side of the street, because that's where
he wants to build hotels in Moscow.
It's all about the oil. Trump's got a chance, along with that's why he's got the head of Exxon, or the man who was head of Exxon, that's his position and stuff. They want to grab, they've got control of the Russian oil via Putin, and they're all going to make billions and billions of dollars if they can corrupt our democracy. England's democracy, Germany's democracy, and France's democracy, destroying NATO, it's all about the oil.
It is. I agree with you, Wayne. It is. That's where it really lies. It's in petrorubles. That's exactly where it is.
The hydrocarbon industry in general. It's just, I'm going to go with that. It's the hydrocarbon industry in general.
Whereas on the other side of the street, you have the Chinese who see the future coming. Well, they have to. You can barely fucking breathe in Beijing. You can't. I've got a Beijing from just a couple months back. Oh, my God. I wouldn't go there. I'd have to have oxygen.
I work in the industry. China had on the books to build 103 coal-burning power plants across the country. They scrapped the whole idea because they have 2,000 people a day dying of lung disease problems.
In Beijing, yeah.
Right.
They are rapidly going after, well, number one, they stole the best wind turbine blueprints from a guy there in New England. They're building them now because they don't recognize anybody's trademarks and registrations, patents and stuff. And they're going with the photovoltaics all in a full-blown way. Germany has proven, along with many other countries in Europe, but particularly Germany, is now getting 86% of its electrical needs to their electric grid through wind power and photovoltaics.
Green industry, yeah.
Green industry, that is the future. China sees that's the industry. Now, here's another thing that's kind of a really sits in my grill.
Hillary Clinton saw that as our future. Hillary Clinton wanted that for our future.
Absolutely. Well, I knew she was right. Like I said, I'm in the industry. And the thing is the electrical companies know that is their future. Photovoltaics and wind is the cheapest source of producing electric power. And it's like, if you're an industrialist, coal generated electricity is the most expensive. Well, I've got to incur that extra expense into my product and the pricing of my product, but if my electric came from photovoltaics and wind power, then my electric bill is going to be cheaper, henceforth my product in a global community will be competitive. When Trump says he's going to save coal, he's saying, I do not recognize the capitalistic pressures of a free market economy. That's barely what he said.
Wow.
But the other thing that kind of disturbs me is we have Betsy DeVos that wants to destroy our public education system. They want to make everything face-based where they're going to make it, it's creationism. There's not any kind of true science, right? It's all going to be based on Bible because that's how schematic she is. But yet China, who's gone strongly, because they know the future is to educate their people in the sciences and the technology, have now made huge advancements in quantum computing communications, and they've even kind of like Star Trek, photons, you know, transporting photons from Earth to a space station, a satellite. China is advancing us and leapfrogging us in the latest and greatest in the future of science.
And you know
meanwhile,
what
we want to revert back to, you know.
You know what?
There was a bunch
what
of religious fanatics who built the ark right outside of Cleveland, Kentucky. It's failing miserably. Even though it's crap, you know. Humans did not ride dinosaurs like the Flintstones.
Now that they
were losing their butt on it, then they turned around what was had been in private hands and actually was also funded by Kentucky tax dollars to build a road and parking lots and things like that to it. They turned around and sold the whole thing to the church for $10 so they don't have to pay taxes on that.
Now, what were you saying, Jack?
We're getting a lot of feedback in the background there.
Yeah,
our trade imbalance is what has funded China's ability to do the things that they're doing. So we're cutting our own throats by getting cheap goods out of China for over 30 years now.
Yes, ever since Reagan.
Yeah, all that free trade bullshit that is all it's led to is enslavement of our workforce and unemployment in this country.
The life, the quality of life of the working middle class is plummeting down to bordering on a third world economy.
That's right.
Well, by the way, when we were speaking earlier, the woman who ran against McCain, her name was Kelly Ward. She posted on her website that while it's both devastating and debilitating, his brain tumor, he owes it to the people of Arizona to step aside when he's no longer able to.
Well, that's a little premature, I would say.
Yeah, if I were standing in the room, I'd stand over beside Mr. McCain myself. I don't agree with a freaking thing he says. I do agree with his dignity, and I do agree that the man deserves the respect that this freaking
of any human being in that position.
Yeah, that's wrong. I think she just lost herself a Senate seat.
Well, that's partisan bullshit all over again, and it affects both parties. And she's a good example of the Democratic side being affected.
That's like anybody who votes for, Cory Booker.
Yeah.
They can take a bite out of my ass, too. look what he did. He was for sale.
Oh, yeah.
Who else is for sale? That's the kind of show we need to run during the next election round in this coming up year. Who's been bought? Who's for sale? And call it out. Hey, by the way, the gal I liked in the last election against down here for state Congress was a lady, I believe she's ex-Army. Her name's Pam Keith. I think you might remember me mentioning her.
Yeah.
She finally made it onto Joy, AM Joy this morning.
Oh, great.
Yes, she's running against Brian Mast, you know, Alan West, the boy down here, who won, that shouldn't have. Because actually, my part of this red area is blue.
Mm-hmm.
And we got this little blue enclave up here, mostly women.
Oh, yeah, mostly great. Women. That's good.
Mostly women who are ready to put it to it. But, I thought it was really wonderful to see Pam. Her name is Pam Keith, and we should get to know her.
I hope she's successful, and I hope she has a long term in office.
Jesus, it's getting weird. People are already choosing up sides, guys. Are they doing it in Minnesota?
I would say to a lesser extent. It's happening. It's happening nationwide, but.
Really?
There's still some idiots up here that like Trump, you know. So, I mean, it's throughout the whole country.
Yeah. I have a niece who is a, she was an English major and got her master's in library sciences. When they had the Women's March in D.C., she went down there with some other teachers there in the county that I grew up in, and, you know, to march in favor of that. I'm very, very proud of her. And she is very much pro in favor of the resistance movement that is going on. I'm very, very proud of her.
Great.
So.
Well, there
and
are.
And we're finding more and more of that mid-30s women, maybe not so much the guys, but well-educated women in their mid-30s are becoming the major source and power of the resistance movement.
Great. I'm with them 100%.
So's her Uncle Wayne.
Yeah, there we go. All right.
Well, I guess that's
100% agreement, I guess, on that.
Has anybody got anything to lay out on what's going on over in Israel right now?
Oh, how about the new law that they're trying to pass? That 20 years in prison if you join a boycott of Israel.
Yeah, getting kind of like here.
That's insane, isn't it?
Well, it's I was going to say.
That's the strength of
the far-right reactionary
aspects, lobby.
The religious conservatives are going too far in that country, too.
I agree.
The Likud Party. The Likud.
Yes, yes.
The Likud. Yeah, they're bad. They're bad. Bad
to the core. They're Zionists. They're extreme Zionists.
They're Netanyahu's Yahoos.
Yeah, it's Netanyahu's Yahoos.
That's pretty witty. I like that.
They ginned up the IDF, and there were deaths this last weekend. So. A Palestinian crossing line. So it's starting up again over there.
Well, what they're doing
I'll tell you right now,
in Gaza
it's
is
going
terrible.
To get a whole lot worse.
4 hours
gets
of electricity maximum per day. That's terrible.
It's against human rights.
It's unlivable.
But America is not pounding for human rights any longer. The Oval Office told them not to.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, you know, I've said it for a long time. Netanyahu behaves a lot like the Nazis, only he isn't taking it out on Jews. He's taking it out on his neighbors.
Right. Well, still... You know, I don't care if it's the Ottoman Turks going after the Armenians or the Germans going after the Jews/Romanian gypsies. Or, we can go on with the Klan here against the blacks and the Jews.
Mm-hmm.
There's always going to be a segment of our demographic population that's going to find some reason to hate another group, be it nihilistic reasons.
Yeah, it's insane.
Well, and that's one of the reasons that we have to remain kind. You know, you can disagree, you can argue, but always be kind unless you have to defend somebody from harm.
Well, that's the difference. That's the difference in our outlook versus theirs. Theirs is to dominate, to make absolutely powerless those other groups that they hate and corral them into a corner and, if not kill them, just neutralize them completely so they can't do anything. That's not American.
Well, this happened in Israel right now has a lot to do with the Temple Mount too. Mount.
Oh yeah, religious site.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
But I tell you what, we got something going on in this country that makes me just as worrisome. When the White House, Trump and the White House, demanding that all the states give them their voting,
voting
registrations and their voting, the way they voted in the last elections.
Yeah,
that is, you know, what happened to your one man, one vote, and that vote was secret. It was sacredly secret.
Well,
that, you could
that
vote
was
with,
before money. That was before corporation money.
Yeah, well, the thing
doing,
is I'm pissed at the states that turned it over to them. Who in the hell thought that they could turn over my personal information, social security numbers, the whole nine yards, my voting record, to somebody like the tyrant of Trump?
They cannot do this. This is illegal. And it will be turned over in court. And I've given to the ACLU because there's a case going on. They've turned my information over.
Yeah. But some of the states that have already given that information, the White House has already put it out there as public. People's names are now been jeopardized and compromised by this White House already.
And I'll sue those.
Whether it's illegal or not, your name's on the list.
I will sue those fucking bastards. You know they say you can't spruce or sue City Hall, but the truth is you can. I watched my mom do it, and she won.
Yep.
Right.
You can sue those bastards, and they have to pay off.
Well,
and give me
again.
Chris Kovach is anti-democracy, period. Not just anti-democratic, anti-democracy. That son of a bitch is he's so evil, and Trump's right behind him, and all the reactionaries love the idea, and that's why they're so active behind the scenes. Everything's behind the scenes with these guys because they know if they put it to a public plebiscite, it'd be voted down immensely, hugely. But so they got to work around behind the scenes secretly and throw all kinds of money behind it and hope for the best.
They're going to put my social security number, all my information up. I want to see Trump's information up on the grid.
Yeah, I want to see his tax return.
You're not going to see it because he's guilty of laundering money for the mob. And he's a Republican conservative.
Get it, publicize it.
That makes it okay.
Go Robert Mueller. Publicize it.
Oh, yeah.
Embarrass the hell out of that crook.
We are at the end of the
show. I should say it's not the whole Social Security number, just the last four digits.
Even so,
I just want to remind everybody, next week we're going to have the return of activist Eleanor Goldfield, who has her own half-hour show on Free Speech TV called Act Out. She is marvelous.
Very good.
She has interviewed so many activists, liberals, progressives, wonderful people over the last. She's had over 100 shows already, and a lot of them are available online. You can look for them. Eleanor Goldfield, Act Out. Just Google her, and you're going to find all kinds of cool stuff. She's gorgeous to look at, and her brain is awesome. She's very on top of things. She knows her stuff through and through, and she'll be with us again next week.
She is a smart cookie. She is a pretty little thing. She's talented, too, in many ways.
Yes. Oh, she's a musician and a writer, a poet. She's got a lot of things going for her.
Yeah.
Very nice.
She's going
to
go.
It'll be great to pick her brain. She's got a brand new book coming out now, too.
Good.
This is Jack from the Saturday Afternoon Post. And all the best to all of you this next week. And we'll look forward to talking with you next Sunday with Eleanor Goldfield as our guest.
Very good. And thank you, everybody. If you get a chance, on my blog site, Minds and Times of F. Wayne Johnson, look at the article that I wrote. It's a poem that says, Man Evolves into Extinction, and read it. It just kind of sums up where we are today.
Very, very smart.
It sums up where we have been for the last 17 damn years.
Okay.
So take care, folks.
Thank you, Gwen.
Before we get off, I would like to put some good news out there. According to the Washington Post, the last British lynx was killed 1,300 years ago, but now the wildcat seems to be making a comeback. So I think that's wonderful news. And until next Sunday with Eleanor Goldfield as our guest, please tune in. This has been Hear Me Monsters Radio, the Sunday show. I'm Gwen Berry. Thank you for dropping in.
Keep pushing forward.